So, yeah. May you be blessed in, as you're blessing each other this day. So, don't run in the sanctuary. I don't want you falling and breaking an ankle. Just move your way back. I mean, people start running. I don't know if you see what it's like from back here or up front. Yeah. So let us center ourselves this day as we lift up a prayer to the Lord. So let us pray together as a congregation. Gracious and loving God, we are grateful that you have called us together this day, drawing us from darkness to the glory of your light. May the spirits rejoice at the good news that you have for us today. Open our hearts in healing love, for we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Our scripture today is two readings out of the Gospels, the Gospel of John and the Gospel of Matthew. As the Lord opens up our eyes this day, may the Lord's Spirit touch your spirit, that in these words you will find comfort, you will find challenge, and you will find the love of God this day. So let us hear these words. From John 15, the first five verses. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me and bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. And then from Matthew, the 11th chapter, the 29th and 30th verses. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. Thank you. So, in our family, we have play a lot of sports. Our kids played softball and baseball and basketball, soccer as they were growing up. And Jody and I coached most of those leagues together. Sometimes by accident, we would be out there doing it, because we were concerned parents and the coach needed help. You know how it is when you've got 6 and 7 and 8 year olds running around. It takes a lot of work to corral them. And so more hands and more feet make it easier. And so it's moved on into our life. Our oldest daughter, Ashley, her two girls are now playing softball. And I could just see it last year as we were watching the games and she's sitting on the sidelines. And she kept wanting the coach to do this and the coach to do that. And she just kept struggling. And the coach didn't want any help from the parents. And it was the hardest year for her last year. And I knew what was going to happen when the year came to end. She is now coaching the softball team because she cannot handle it anymore. And so last year, our oldest granddaughter played. Now both of the granddaughters are playing together. And a couple weeks ago, we had them here at the stayed the weekend with us, so Ashley could play in a softball tournament that she plays in every year. And so I was talking to the girls, and I asked Carly, I said, how's softball? She says, oh, it's okay. I said, just okay? I mean, what's it like having mom as your coach? And she says, oh, it's terrible. And if you know Carly, she made it dramatic. I said, well, why is it so bad? She says, because she keeps making us do the same thing over and over and over. And I know how to do it. Let's get on and play base softball. You know, she's ready for the games to start. But she hasn't figured out the discipline of practice and how important that is to learning anything. And today, as we open up the scriptures in this journey with Jesus about being a disciple and growing into a mature disciple, we're going to look at spiritual practices. So if you're following along in the bulletin, you can open up to that outline there, and we'll have some fill in the blanks for you. and to help you to keep, you know, we do this every week, so I'm getting in practice. So you're getting used to doing that. You're taking the time to do it. So when I say the word discipline, what comes to your mind? Yeah. For me, it's painful. Because I remember what discipline was like if I did something wrong when I was a kid. You know, that's my mind. So when I think of the word discipline, I have this kind of this negative understanding of it. But so if you're there with me, don't check out of today's message. It's not the bad part of discipline, disciplines. And that's why I'm calling it practice. Because this is something that we're going to do or should be doing if we're going to be maturing in our walk as a disciple with Christ for the rest of our life. Disciplines are a good thing, can be a good thing. Think about it, as I was just saying about our granddaughters learning how to play softball. You've got to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it until it becomes not even a thought. It just happens. And so anybody that is good at something more than likely has been in that mode in their life, whether they are a sports star or you think about a doctor. Could you imagine a doctor just reading the book and said, yep, I know how to do heart surgery. Oh, yep, I can take care and put stents in and that. It takes practice, doesn't it? It takes years of training to make them proficient in what they're doing. So in order for anybody to be good at something, to accomplish your goals, you can make goals, but if you aren't accomplished, look at John Ron says this. He says, discipline is the bridge between goals and accomplishments. Discipline is the bridge between goals and accomplishment. What a wonderful quote. I would have put it in the outline, but I found it afterwards, you know. I'm always tweaking these things right up to the last minute. As I share them with you, the Word of God this day. So discipline is the bridge between goals and accomplishment. So I ask you, what is your goal as a disciple of Jesus Christ? Do you have one? Do you know where you want to end up? I'm not talking about in heaven or having this, but I mean, as a disciple, do you have goals? I hope you do. When you reach those goals, and have them actually be accomplished, you need to have a plan. You need to do something. You need to practice to make it perfect. And this is spiritual practices are about giving up our control and allowing God to work in us and through us. Spiritual practices. We're talking about the things of God, the things that you will find in the Bible that through the words of Scripture tell us that we should be doing. And we're going to be looking at that list a little bit later. But in our message today, if you look back at your Gospel of John 15 Scripture, it says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it to bear more fruit. So the spiritual practices are connecting us with God to have God do the pruning. Not necessarily us do the pruning. Think about that. I remember when we first moved into Dixon, into our parsonage, we brought five rose bushes with us. That were given to us as a present when we were leaving our last church. And we planted them all there. And so we really didn't know how you handle rose bushes. Never had them. You know, my mom had this one and it climbed up our television tower all the way, one of those vining ones, you know, for years. And I just knew it was hard to get out and climb up and down the television tower because of the vines. But when we got these, we had to ask around, how do you do it? Well, in order to make them grow right, you have to prune them, you know, so that they bush out the way and all that. It takes a lot of work. And so God is the one that is working on us. And that's our whole theme about journeying with Jesus, about becoming this disciple of Christ, exploring that road, that path. So if we look at our roadmap, as I say, it's on the wall out there. If you haven't had the opportunity to pick one up. They're on the welcome table out there. You can pick one up to look at it more closely. But we're looking at the practice, the attribute of a disciple called spiritual practices. And it's about making the steps towards maturity in Christ. And I told you that worship was one of the most important things. And I told you that community was one of the most important things. And every one of these is one of the most important things, all five of these. And today, in spiritual practices, is God working on you? Have you felt this nudge? You don't know exactly where it's coming from, that you need to pay attention, you need to look somewhere else. And I tell you, that's God. That's what we call that prevenient grace along the bottom, that grace that comes before we know who God is. God's grace is God's grace, but we call it different names just to help us to understand it. And can you remember that time when God was wooing you and inviting you into to this place or wherever you began your journey as a Christian? If you're here for the first time today, you may have thought you came on your own, but God brought you here. God touched your heart in a way and said, I need to be in this place today. And we're grateful that you are with us. And this thing about spiritual practices is that as we mature, we become more and more like Jesus. And that's what it says. We are shaped into the image of Christ through God's grace and mercy, and not by our own doing. Yes, we show up. Yes, we respond. But it's God that does the work on us. We don't have to do it on our own. That's the wonderful thing about this. It says this in the John 15 passage. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. You've already been cleansed. You came here. You're a part of this place. And we are grateful that you are here. And God has already cleansed you and spoken to you today. But he says to abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. We're being shaped into the image of Christ. So how do we go about doing that? Let me ask you a question. Your best friend that you know, that you spend the most time in, you know so much about that person, right? You know them intimately. If you think about it, it could be the person sitting right next to you. If you're married, I hope it is. You know, I hope that's your best friend. And the reason you know them is because you spend time with them, right? You know, I've had the pleasure of getting to know couples through all my 25 years of ministry. And it's an interesting, you guys start looking alike. You start acting alike. You know, I know you're male and female, and that's okay. But I mean, you become each other in a lot of senses. You know, you can finish the other person's sentence. They don't have to finish it. You can have twice this conversation in half the time, because you only have to say one word, and the rest, you know the rest of the answer, right? You can move along. Why does that happen? That's because you've spent time with each other. You've gotten to know each other. And that's the same thing with God. You've got to spend time with God. You've got to get to know God. And just being here on Sunday, it's a wonderful thing. I am glad you are here, because I really wouldn't want to preach to just God by myself, but I would if I had to. It's a whole lot better when it's filled with people. And we're all hearing what God has for us this day. But we are here to be shaped into the wholeness of God. Spiritual formation is allowing God to shape us into wholeness. You know, I talked to you about the fact that once sin came into the world, we have this hole that's in our makeup. You know, God created us and made us in His image. And male and female, we all look like God. And what a wonderful thing. And God breathed the Spirit, the Ruach El-Wahim, into us. But after the sin, that sin came, we have this hole in us. And we struggle to put the wrong things in it, the material things, other people, stuff that just doesn't work well until it gets God put in there. and through spiritual practice, through becoming a disciple, a committed disciple of Christ, one that wants to go on to maturity, then God can bring us to wholeness, bring us into that true image that God has for each one of us. What a wonderful thing it is. I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, we always think that we can do a whole lot without God's help, but I am here to tell you, and if you anybody that's been a Christian for a period of time can probably attest to this, we get a whole lot more done in a lot better way with God's help. It's amazing how that happens to us, where God is working on us. And did you know this thing about being a mature disciple? As you look on that chart that we give you, the roadmap, and you see at the beginning that you're a seeker. You don't know exactly what's going on in your life, but you know you need something else. And so you start searching, you start seeking. And it's all about you, and that's okay. God will meet you where you're at, but He'll move you to where you need to be, to wholeness, if you let Him. If you engage in these spiritual practices that we're going to be talking about. But when we get to be a mature disciple, a mature Christian, we start to understand that this isn't all about me. That I am supposedly to become just like Jesus, right? Into the image of God. And who was Jesus? Did Jesus come to earth just for Himself? No. Jesus came for us so that we could have freedom from sin, that we could have new life, that we could have life to the fullest. Jesus came for others. And so this whole thing about being formed into Jesus' image, as Robert Mahalan says in his book, Journeying with Jesus, says this, spiritual formation is a spiritual formation is a process of being formed in the image of Christ for the sake of others. When you get to the end of that chart, you know, we've started making that chart so that you can get an idea of where you are in each one of those areas and going, okay, Lord, now what do I need to do to get to the next level? And we're going to help you with that. We're going to putting together a survey. Somehow I got to figure out how we're going to do this so that you can help us as the staff here. Pastor Hewan, myself, Laura, Pastor Stan, all those that are in this group, to help you to be able to grow. You know, if we need to be working on our Bible reading like we do, prayer team is inviting us to read Bible daily, to pray daily. If that's where we are as a church, then we need to make things happen that will help you grow in those areas. And so we're going to do this survey, and we're going to invite you all to take it, and so that we can assess what our needs of our church are. Let's not waste our energy and do things that we don't need to be doing. Let's work together to grow and become more Christ-like as a church. So, you know what? If we're so Christ-like as a church, when the community sees us, they're going to say, hey, there are a bunch of weird people over there. I hope you don't mind being a little weird. Because, you know, we have a smile on our face. We have a joy in our heart. We have a peace about us. And people going, we don't engage in that craziness of the world that thinks that if you don't think like me, don't talk like me, then you're not any good. We can look at each other and say, I don't have to agree with you, because I know I don't look like you. I don't act like you. I don't have to think like you. But I can still say that I can love you because Jesus told me to. Jesus says, I'm to love my neighbor as myself. And if I can learn to love myself, then I can learn to love you, and I don't have to agree with you. And that's what we're looking for. That's what my dream is with this process of this discipleship pathway. That the community can see this church and say, there's a bunch of people that don't necessarily have it all together, but they're good people. You know why they're good people? Because they know who Jesus is, and I want to get to know who Jesus is because of them. You know, if you make it there, if we make it there, then we've done the work that God has called us to do. And maybe the kingdom will come and we'll see the final glory and Jesus walking on earth again. That's my dream. I hope you can be a part of that. And so as we move forward with this, John Wesley, I sidetracked a little bit, sorry. John Wesley said this way about this. He says, there's no personal holiness without social holiness. John Wesley was in a time of the English Industrial Revolution was starting, and the people were coming out of the country because of famine and poor crops and moving into the cities, and they were starting to get slums and alcoholism and prostitution and just not a lot of good things happening. And he saw that, and he said, you know, I need to do something about that. And that's part of who we are as Methodists. We see the world and we see it the way it is, and it's not always a good thing, but we know that if we bring Christ into that situation, we can help it make it better. And so he says that there's no personal holiness without social holiness. What we're called to do and called to be as Christians is to help others, to engage in these spiritual practices. And so I want to spend the rest of this time looking at some spiritual practices. And I love the book by Richard Foster called Celebration of Discipline. It's an old classic written in the 70s, I think. But it shares the different things that you can do, the different practices that you can take and make in three different ways. There's three different types of disciplines, he says. The first one is inward disciplines. Those are the things that change me, change you. Prayer, fasting, meditation, study in the Christian life. And then he says there's the outward disciplines. Those things that we do to show how God is working in our lives. Not to show that we've arrived, but to show that God does make a difference in through our relationship with Jesus Christ. The disciplines of simplicity, solitude, submission, and service. And then there's the corporate disciplines. Those things that we do as a group together. Confession, worship, guidance, celebration. And I put the sacraments in there. The celebration of Holy Communion and baptism for us as Protestants, as United Methodists, is a very part of our celebration of the life that God has given us each and every day. So those, you could do them all. I hope you could do a bunch of them, but there's something for you there to look at. Can I work at one of these? Can I work at two of these? Can I work at one in each area so that I can grow in my spiritual formation? You know, to become more Christ-like. Our G2 groups, we gather and we grow and we go. That's one way. Our Bible studies that dive in deeper into topics or into the Scriptures to help to grow. Worship here. Prayer. Our prayer team is always encouraging us to find ways to pray. They're encouraging us to read the Bible together as a church. We're going to be going into Proverbs and the Psalms this summer. And so we're going to be preaching from them. So that will be help us all to stay together as a church and know and live and go. In the Gospel of Matthew, it says this, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, I never had the opportunity as a kid to work with a yoke of oxen. You know, the yoke is what holds the oxen together. But I did help break teams with harnesses and pulling horses. And we used to take a seasoned veteran, a real stable horse that knew how to do it, and put a young horse next to them to teach them, to show them the ropes, per se, of how to do the work. And Jesus says, I'm the one next to you. I'm the one in the yoke with you. He says, take my yoke upon you. Take my life. Take my who I am, to connect me to you and to the Lord and to God. And he says, because I'm gentle and I'm humble at heart. He's one of those real patient, steadfast, people that doesn't get flustered or excited when you start jumping around and want to get out of that harness. You're pulling on it, you know, you're not going where you're supposed to, but Jesus is stable. And in that, we'll find the rest that we need for our souls. And when we find rest, we find joy, we find peace. We find the energy that we need to go forward to the next day, to help those around us to find that same thing. So I have this question for you. Are the fruits of the Spirit love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control growing in you? Are they growing in you? If they are, then you're doing spiritual formation in your life. Because if you think about it, those are the character traits that Jesus showed every day of His life. And our call is to become Christ-like. But if you're not growing, or if there's one of those that you struggle with, then I invite you to take a serious look at these spiritual practices and try to find one that will help you to grow in that area, to become more loving, to become more joy-filled and peaceful, to show kindness and goodness to the world around you, to be gentle. And then the next thing you know, you'll be one of those people inside that yoke, and you'll have somebody else that's jumping and trying to get out of it and can't figure out why their life's all a mess. And you can be gentle and kind and patient with them and help them to grow forward and to understand and learn each and every day. So here's our memory verse for this week. Let's say this together. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. John 15:5. So I invite you to memorize that this week. I invite you to commit yourself to grow as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I invite you to make these spiritual practices a part of every day of your life. Go in the power and the love of God this day and live your life, not alone, but with Christ walking beside you in the yoke together. Amen.